It's 3 o'clock. Activate Live starts now.
Activate your voice.
Fight for your rights. Speak up.
Speak out.
We're union and we're proud.
Go union.
Live from Maryland, this is Activate Live.
Welcome to Activate Live. I'm Tanya Hutchins. We do news first, then our guests, Dan Jansen, Stan Pichtal, and Terry McClendon today. But first, here's Delaine Adams with the latest labor news.
Thank you, Tanya. Late last year, three Boeing IAM members in South Carolina were unjustly fired. Now we have evidence that the government found that the evidence is finding and clearing them of any wrongdoing, if I can get that out. We're now demanding that Boeing make these workers whole. We have a petition up, and we've been putting everything out on Facebook, social media. We want to make sure that we get dignity and respect for these unjustly fired Boeing South Carolina IAM members. Again, please sign the pledge, and we'll put the pledge up in the comments. We want to make sure that Boeing returns these three flight readiness technicians and inspectors to their positions and be made whole. And also in other news dealing with Boeing, Senator Sherrod Brown out of Ohio, after reading a New York Times piece on safety concerns at the South Carolina plant, is urging Boeing to accept union card check neutrality for Boeing workers at the South Carolina plant. Card check basically would recognize the IAM, and we want to thank Senator Sherrod Brown for sending a letter to the Boeing CEO on our behalf. Senator Brown is a champion for working families, and he's always standing up for the union members and working families throughout the nation.
Yes, he's always been on labor's side. He understands what it is to be a worker.
Yes, yes. Thank you for helping me recover over that big stumble in the beginning.
No, you're fine.
Yes, so.
It's the content that's important, right?
It is. Yeah, make sure we, again, justice and respect and dignity for our members at South Carolina.
All right. Thank you, Delaine.
Take care, Tanya.
Thanks. Well, union members who attend meetings regularly quickly figure out who the movers and shakers are. They're the ones who care enough to get involved. It's in their blood. They're also the ones who tend to move up in the union because they take action. Well, look at this stat. Did you know that 900 union members were elected to office in 2018? That's the size of a large village. Now, that figure comes from the AFL-CIO, and I'm assuming this is for the United States. We only get justice on the job when we have people in office who understand workers' issues. So joining us from Hollywood, Maryland, is IAM Local 2323 Vice President Dan Jansen, who took time out of his day to be with us today. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for having me, Tanya.
Now, Dan, you're normally in Canada, but you're in Hollywood, Maryland today. What class are you there for?
I'm here for the Political Action Symposium that the Canadian Territory is hosting.
And how has that been going so far this week?
It's been great. It's really engaging.
Well, tell me first, so we can get to know you a little bit, how long have you been a machinist, and what job were you doing when you first joined?
Sure. I became a machinist member when I started working at Air Canada 19 years ago. And I've been loading airplanes for pretty much my whole career.
And what is an average day like for you?
I get in about 5 in the morning, and I work about 7 to 8 flights. Usually they're turns. I get around, I talk to some of my coworkers, and if issues come up in the workplace, then I speak to management about them.
How did you decide that you wanted to run for union office and get more involved in the union?
Well, I guess it goes back to my time as a young machinist. I attended the Young Workers and Emerging Leaders Conference in San Antonio, and it was really inspiring. Then I came to the Young Worker Strategy Pilot Program here at the Harbor. And there I learned about building relationships with other community groups, other labor activists, and also about the history of our union. And I was able to dig into some of the people that really made some significant changes within our union. But by getting involved with the labor movement, ultimately That was where I saw that together we can make change. And it really inspired me to want to step up and help out my not only my coworkers, but also my community. And what better way to do that than to step up and run for office?
Now this, you are running for office now, but this isn't your first time. I guess that's what made you run for office the first time. What did you learn from that experience?
Well, I learned a lot about my community. When you go door to door and you meet with people on the doorsteps, people open up to you. They let you know what the issues are. One of the main issues that I noticed in my community is the concern for the environment. It seems like a lot of our politicians aren't really taking it seriously, and it's something that people want taken seriously. I also learned that it's important to be out in the community and be present in the community. When we went out and canvassed in the areas that we canvassed a little more heavily, we were able to win some polls. We weren't able to win the whole riding, but we did well. We came in second place, and our whole team did a good job.
Okay, explain the term riding, because you explained it to me, because we don't use that term in the United States, but what is a riding?
A riding is a boundary line that, it encompasses about 100,000 voters. My riding is Barrie, Springwater, Oro, Medonte. It's about an hour north of Toronto, and it has half of Barrie and some rural areas, including a number of small towns like Elmville and Minnising and Snow Valley.
Now, running for office is a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It puts you through a lot. What made you decide that you wanted to do this again?
Well, by getting involved in the union, it was something I didn't realize before, but I have a voice. As a union representative, I have something to say, and I want to help people out. That's ultimately the goal, is to help people. And I think I have something to offer. So by stepping up, getting involved in electoral politics, and doing my best to win a seat in the House of Commons in the next federal election, I believe that I can make a difference.
I love the fact that you're not giving up. So thank you for continuing to fight for this position.
No problem.
What is your vision for working families in Canada?
Well, I believe that all Canadians should have equal access to opportunities to live a full and healthy life with respect and the dignity that they deserve.
And it's harder said than done, isn't it? We're hoping that you'll be able to get in there and help to get it done.
Me too.
Is there anything else that you want people to know, especially those who are thinking about running for office and it may be a union member who's out there watching right now?
Yes, definitely. If you're the type of person that feels that there's something going on that's wrong in your community or in your workplace, I think you should step up and be that person that goes out and creates that change, that seeks out other allies that can help you. I think you should get involved in the labor movement, talk to your local labor council, and get involved in electoral politics, whether that's just knocking on doors for a candidate or actually stepping up and running for office. I think politics can be accessible. All we need to do is try.
Dan, before you leave, we have a couple comments from people, so we'd like to put them up on the screen. Heather Kelly says, "Hey, Dan, great job."
Thank you.
We know Heather, and we know how she appreciates your work. So we wanted to show you that as well. Also, Brian Steinmax is saying, "Hey, go Dan, wishing you the best, brother. They will be lucky to have you as a representative and activist up there." So you're getting the accolades already. And Dave Lehigh saying, "Dan is a great unionist." So I'll let you talk to them.
Thank you, brothers.
Oh, they keep coming. Look, Tony Tracer says, "Go Dan Jansen." If we could vote for you here in the United States, we would.
I appreciate that.
Anything else you'd like to say, Dan, before you leave?
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Keep in touch on how the campaign goes, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
So what do you think about union members running for office? Do you think it helps get workers' voices heard? Comment now to activate your voice and let us know what you think using live chat on YouTube. You can also use comments on Facebook right now or by replying to this video on Twitter. Even if you're watching the replay, you can go ahead and comment. And thank you to everyone who has already commented. Well, the political climate can be different in Canada than it is in the United States. You know, we have our similarities and we have our differences. But as a union, we always fight for our rights no matter where our members are in North America. Joining us now to give us some insight into some of our union's efforts in Canada is General Vice President Stan Pictall. Thanks for joining us, Stan.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's good to be here.
Well, Stan, I know that we work with the Canadian Labor Congress on some issues. What are some of the issues that we are fighting for with the CLC?
Well, we've been engaged in a pharmacare campaign that's very significant, and this is an opportunity for us to enhance our Medicare. As you know, we have national Medicare in Canada, and I know from talking to lots of my brothers and sisters south of the border, that it's the envy of the labor movement down here. And pharmacare is an opportunity for us to finish the business that was intended when Medicare was first made. And we're looking to have equal access for all people. It makes economic sense. Some of the reports that I've read compares our system in Canada to New Zealand. And in New Zealand, they have a public system, and Lipitor, 1 year's worth of Lipitor costs about $15 in New Zealand. But in Canada, that same prescription would cost $811. So pharmacare is a significant campaign. Another one that we've been working on is pensions. I just listened in on the conversation you had with Dan Jansen. We have an MP, a federally elected MP named Scott Duvall, who's basically got a campaign to say, let's put pensioners first when companies go bankrupt. And I think that's a very significant issue, and the IAM is behind that. We were there at the outset when Scott Duvall announced this bill that he put forward, still fighting for that bill. The CLC is now behind the bill, and so is all of labor. And I will tell you that Scott Duvall is formerly a steel worker who is now a federally elected candidate. So Dan is following in good footsteps when he tries to do the same kind of work and represent our members politically.
Well, that's great to know that he's a former steel worker, so that is great. And we're so proud of Dan for running as well. Can we talk a little bit more about the pensions? Is the idea that when the company's in trouble that they do take care of the pensioners first before they do anything else?
Absolutely. The principle is that the pensioners should go to the top of the list. And we have a couple of laws. One's CCAA, which is the creditors, it's a creditors thing. I can't remember all the acronyms. But in any event, the other one is the BIA, Bankruptcy and Investment Act. And those two acts basically allow shareholders and owners of company to basically empty out the bank of the company prior to any pensioners getting paid. And we recently had this with Sears Canada. Sears Canada was the most recent example, but we've had Stelco, we've had Norelco, we've had a bunch of other issues that have been raised by in this conversation. So we certainly need to have our pensioners brought to the top of the list. We have people who can't afford their medications, they can't afford to live. They're seeing their pension now threatened. And certainly we as unionists see pensions as being deferred income. This is wages that people have already earned. They put that aside as part of the compensation package and they're losing it.
Now, Stan, aside from working with the CLC, the IAM has its own efforts that we're lobbying for. Can you go through some of those?
Absolutely. One of the things that we've recently done is we've created this aerospace strategy report. I don't know where to hold it because it looks a little off. But our aerospace strategy report is a report that we created in Canada. We worked on it for the back end of last year. And this is a report that says we need to do more for the aerospace industry. The aerospace industry in Canada has in excess of 200,000 workers who work there. Now, they're not all IAM. About 12,000 are IAM members. But it's a significant industry for Canada. It's much bigger than the auto industry. In Canada, the auto industry has 123,000, so we're certainly almost double that size. And it's a $28 billion worth of revenue for this country. So it makes sense to do some things for that industry. Of those 200,000 members who work in that industry, one third will reach their normal retirement age within the next 6 or 7 years. It's estimated by 2025, up to one third will reach normal retirement age and start to retire out. And frankly, Canada doesn't have a plan for how we're going to replace those workers. And we say we need to get that done. These are high-skill, high-tech jobs that provide good-paying incomes for workers. So we want to make sure that aerospace is dealt with and that governments, both federal and provincial, are doing the work they need to do to make sure that we retain these jobs, we provide the skills, we do the training, we do the things that we need to do. Another campaign that we have currently is over our airport screeners. The IAM represents about 4,000 airport screeners across Canada. And the airport screeners are similar to the TSA agents who screen you through security at an airport, make sure that you're safe to travel. And one of the issues they deal with, their company is Garda in Toronto, their company is G4S in Vancouver. But the overarching Crown Corporation is called CATSA. It's Canadian Aviation Transportation Safety Association. And so what they're charged with making sure that travelers are safe. What we find is some of our screeners find themselves given a performance evaluation report because CATSA shows up and they show up in the workplace and they'll find some reason that a person hasn't complied with all the regulations and they can hold them out of service. They're held out of service and they don't have any real appeal or opportunity to be represented. We've tried to deal with it through the grievance process and gone to arbitration on it. Arbitrators basically say, we don't have any jurisdiction to deal with this issue. So we're taking that to our government as well. And those are a couple of the important topics that we're dealing with. And we're gonna be lobbying our politicians on our aerospace strategy and on issues for screeners. And it's part of the discussion we're having in this week's political action symposium here at Placid Harbor.
Yes, tell me, how many people do you have in class and how has it been going?
It's going really well. We have 80 fully engaged activists and they're basically all getting revved up and they're going to go back and they're going to meet with their politicians. So that means we're going to have 80 people taking back a conversation with politicians. We're telling them voices matter and your engagement is contagious and we're going to take that back. We're going to try to involve more people. I will tell you, this is the fifth year in a row we've done our political action symposium. We typically take over the harbor. We've got 80 people here. One year we had over 100 people here, and it's been very, very well received by our members who are very politically engaged. And they see the political environment as an opportunity for us to make a change and to affect the changes we need for workers and for working families.
We're so glad that you're putting on that class. We actually have a comment already before you go that we wanted to pop up on the screen for you. And we're glad that this is the fifth year as well. This is from Jerry saying, "Hi, Stan. Thanks for staying rock solid, creating jobs in Canadian aerospace, fighting grounded potential." So thank you, Stan. Yep. Everything that
Thanks
you're doing.
Thanks very much. Appreciate that.
Yes, and that's a great report. You know, I have
a great report.
Yes, thank you for all the hard work on that. So anybody that can get their hands on that report, check it out.
The report is available on our Canadian website, iamaw.ca. You'll find it right at the top of the page in both official languages.
Great. Thank you so much, Stan Pichtal, General Great. Vice President of Canada.
Thank you.
Well, keep the comments coming. We want to know what you think, especially if you work in Canada. So join the conversation. You can comment right now on below this video to make your voices heard. And you can do that on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube using live chat. Well, on April 23rd, 1956, The Canadian Labor Congress was founded through a merger of the Trades and Labor Congress of Canada, TLC, and the Canadian Congress of Labor, CCL, the two major union congresses in Canada at the time. The CLC represents the interests of more than 3 million affiliated workers. Well, in 1971, the AFL-CIO set aside April 28th as Workers' Memorial Day to honor workers killed on the job each year. Well, since 2001, the IAM Workers' Memorial has helped us to remember those who have lost their lives on the job. We pay our respects each April 28th. But this year, we'll observe the day on May 1st. IAM CREST Project Coordinator Terry McClendon is here to give us a preview. Thanks for being here, Terry.
Oh, my pleasure again.
This is your second or third time on our show, so thanks for coming back.
Thank you. Thank you.
We were here this last year previewing this as well. First, explain to us, how many people are we honoring this year?
This year, we're honoring 19 brothers and sisters that lost their lives because of their job or on the job last year.
And that is so sad because we don't want to have anybody who...
No, every year we hope that we don't have to put another brick in the memorial, but it looks like we still have a long ways to go, or quite a ways to go. A lot of hard work till we get to the time where we don't have to put a brick in the memorial.
Now, this is going to take place May 1st, and we're going to try to live stream it at 11 a.m.
Great.
From our social media pages for anyone who can't make it. But take us through the process of how the ceremony works.
So it's in our memorial garden right in front of the lighthouse there in the park there. And this year, the international president will be able to be the keynote speaker, which is always wonderful.
That's
to
great.
Have, yeah. And also we have kind of like an alumni for the communications.
And these are some pictures from last year.
Yes.
So just in case you're wondering, down in Hollywood, Maryland, this is Doris Cervantes from last year, Jim Reed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, go ahead.
So the pastor that is going to be presiding over the service is also going to be Cornell Dunmore again.
All right.
We're so happy that he's coming back.
A machinist, yes.
Yes. And Bob is going, I know he's going to have a wonderful speech, but it's really a peaceful, serene moment where the families, just to hear their family member that they lost, their name called, and then we'll chime a bell after each name is called and just let it resound peacefully and just slowly. And you know, before we do the next one. But it's a real peaceful time where hopefully, if the weather's agreeable, we'll be outside under a beautiful sky and on the water, right near the water, where it's a really peaceful event.
The first picture, or one of the first ones we picked up, was with Arnett, and Arnett was tolling the bell.
Yes.
Which I remember you used to do, too.
Yes, I did. Paid my dues.
Yes, paid your dues. And see, there he is with the bell.
Yes.
So after each name is read, then you hear the bell toll.
The bell will toll, and we just let it slowly die, echo, and you know, stop ringing, and then the next one. So in the background, while we're calling the names and the bell's going off, we have bagpipes playing Amazing Grace. So it's a real peaceful time for, you know, it's really hard for the family members anyways, but we try to make it as peaceful and you know, special as we possibly can for the families.
And I was going to ask you about the families because sometimes they actually come in person.
Right. So we have I think about three different families that are going to have family members coming. We lost last year. We lost three members at Letterkenny, Army Depot, and so there's going to be 12 of co-workers. They're going to ride their Harleys down.
Oh wow!
And then
great.
It'll be wonderful. And then also, some of the family members will be coming for that also.
What an honor! I think they would be very proud to know that they're being honored that way.
It always gives us a good feeling because after all the ceremony is over, people we have tracing paper, so if someone wants to trace the name on the bricks.
Oh, yeah, like the brick that you see up here in the upper right-hand corner, they can trace.
They can trace the what's on the brick, and we always place white roses on the current bricks that have been installed. So the family members take those with them also, but they get to trace the brick, and they can have something to take back home with them.
Now, what if someone wants to get in touch with your department about a brick for someone? What process do they go through?
Well, it's very simple. All they have to do is go to our website on iMail, and we have, you know, the different icons that show the different things that happen in our department, and there's one for the Workers' Memorial. All they have to do is fill out the forms and submit those to us.
Okay, so go to goiam.org, and you can click on departments. And you will see safety and health, right? And then you'll see the icons that Terry was talking about.
Right.
So great. Is there anything else you want people to know? I'm hoping it doesn't rain, but if it does rain, what happens?
If it does rain, we're not wishing for that.
No. Fingers crossed.
Yes, yes. What we'll do is everyone will go to the theater, and it's not quite the same, but it's still a special event, even though it's inside.
Okay. So, all right. So I'm going to have fingers crossed for good weather on May 1st.
Good. Thank you.
And before we leave, I had given Terry a stat to look at because this is a big day today. I'm pretty sure it was today, which is April 24th, right?
Right.
This is also a pretty tragic anniversary because there was an 8-story building housing garment factories in Dhaka, Bangladesh, that collapsed in 2013. So get this, 1,129 workers were killed, more than 2,500 workers were injured, and a day earlier, cracks had been found in the structure, but the factory officials and managers who had contracts with big companies like Benetton and other major U.S. labels insisted that the workers return to work the next day. So they returned to work the next day, and the building collapsed. And if you look at the building, I know some of the photos that I've seen reminded me of the Alfred Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City that had collapsed, because you see this 8-story building, and just the center of it is just gone. And if you just think about going to work one day and seeing cracks in the walls, and then, you know, telling your supervisors about it, and then having them, you know, say not to worry about it and come to work, and, you know, your life is at stake. So many lives are at stake. That is just heartbreaking.
It is. It's such a travesty. And it's unfortunate that, you know, some companies, they put production before the lives of their workers. And it was, you know, just like you just said, it was reported that there was a problem. And the company still says, you know, get back to work. You got to do, you know, that's what you're here for, to do a job, which is true. Mm-hmm. However, if there's something wrong, and the company knows that there's something wrong, it's so wrong to put the workers at peril.
And I know we don't live in a perfect world, but I think the thing that makes me feel good about union workers is the fact that we do have a union contract, and we do have shop stewards, and we have grievance procedures, and we have ways to address safety issues.
These types of things.
So if there's somebody out there who has a safety issue and they're a union member, what do you advise them to do?
Well, talk to your president. You know, if you have a committee, which is wonderful, but there's still a lot of our members that don't have committees.
Like local safety committees?
Right, safety committees. And, you know, communicate with your safety committees and don't give up. You know, if something's wrong and that needs to be addressed, you need to, you know, don't give up. You know, you can go to the shop steward, especially the chief shop steward. You have options, people to go to. So don't feel like you're alone and you're lost and you don't have anywhere to turn to. You have a lot of options. You really do. And we here, I've said so many times that the safety and health department here at headquarters is one of the best kept secrets for the IAM, because a lot of our members don't know we're here for them, and we are here for them. And if they have questions, they can always contact us, and we'll help them.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to mention?
Well, I hope anyone that has had someone that has issues, safety issues, has been injured or lost their life, unfortunately, in the past year, April 28th is the day to honor all of our members that, even those that are that have just been injured, we still need to honor our members that are going through rough times.
So that's a Sunday this year. It's actually this Sunday,
this
right?
This Sunday, right.
And then we will observe it on May 1st.
May 1st.
So thank you so much for coming and talking
My
to
pleasure,
us, Terry.
Always.
And we'll see you May 1st out in Hollywood, Maryland
Great.
For our observance.
Great.
We appreciate it. Well, let us know what you think, even if you are watching the replay. If you have been to one of the services for Workers' Memorial Day, let us know what it was like and who you were there honoring. You can make your comment on Facebook, Twitter, or through live chat on YouTube. Well, we like to bring you organizing tips whenever we can. And if you don't know where to start, picking up the phone or sending an email is a good first step. You can always contact us at organize@iamaw.org. That's organize@iamaw.org. We'd be happy to answer any questions you have about the process. We have a great organizing department and lots of people out in the field throughout North America. Well, if you're a member of the IAM, one of the benefits of your union membership is the ability to take classes at the Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center in Maryland. And here are some of the deadlines to keep in mind. It's time to register for Federal Employees Basic Program. April 29th is the deadline. News Writing for Communicators deadline is May 10th. And the Financial Officers deadline is May 13th. EAP1, that deadline is June 3rd. And for more information, check the website, wimpasinger.iamaw.org. And the state council meetings, that is going to take place April 26th through the 28th. And it's going to be the Michigan State Council of Machinists in Ann Arbor, Michigan. April 28th to the 30th is New York State Council meeting in Niagara Falls. May 16th to the 18th, Quebec is meeting in Victoriaville, Quebec. And you can also enter the IAM photo newsletter and website video contest. That is running up really quickly, so get those entries in ASAP. We've extended the deadline a couple times to get more entries in, but send in your best work. And as far as our special events go, we have the Legislative Conference coming up May 6th through the 8th in Washington, D.C. And the IAM Wood, Pulp, and Paper Conference is taking place in Biloxi, Mississippi, June 10th to the 14th, and Joe Heckman and I will be there. Communications Conference, where you learn to activate your voice, will be June 4th through the 6th at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas. Lots of communicators from across North America will be converging there to learn how to activate our voices throughout our union. And today is International Guide Dog Day. Our own Guide Dogs of America has its next graduation ceremony on May 18th. For more information or to make a donation, visit GuideDogsOfAmerica.org. That's GuideDogsOfAmerica.org. Today is also Administrative Professionals Day, so thank all of your administrative assistants, secretaries, and support staff. And I did want to mention, before we left, that if you are going to take news writing for communicators, to make sure that you check what the prerequisites are. Because if you would like to take that class to qualify, you have to complete basic communicators or basic web development, and news writing takes place July 21st to the 26th. But next week, join us at the William W. Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center in Hollywood, Maryland, to observe Workers' Memorial Day. We'll hopefully chat with some students at W3 and get their perspective on worker safety and health. Support your siblings. Share this video to your local or district page. And thanks to all of you who already do.